Good evening, beloveds. It is so wonderful to join you again this evening. Open and receptive, the Christ candle has been lit for us as the eternal symbol of the light that is always present within all of life, all of creation, including ourselves. As always, it brings great joy when I see each of your faces come up on the screen. And I just soon sit here and just gaze upon all of you, actually. We place ourselves consciously under the canopy of the work. And I love that expression, the canopy. This conscious placement of ourselves is actually a form of self-remembering. All of the forces of regeneration that are possible in our world have a collective focus now. We're under the protection of this canopy, and for our time together, we will be acting from and under a higher law, protected from all that would take us away. And so it is. So in order to close our discussion for now on cosmology, our opening meditation comes from the eminent hermeticist Valentin Tomberg. He defines a hermeticist as one who wishes to know the art of learning. That is science, history, philosophy, theology, metaphysics, religion, devotion, symbolism. So we have sort of a big parameters that we could work in and been gifted by. And yet, as hermeticists, we do not aim to be intellectuals, but as he says, servants of all creation. So this passage comes from his book, Lazarus, Come Forth. The starry heaven at night impregnates the soul that has become quiet and still. It speaks to the soul of the silent majesty of God and bears witness to the kingdom of eternal being. Being with a capital B. Beyond birth and death, beyond evolution and involution, the solemn majesty of the starry heaven proclaims the presence, the all-pervading presence of the holy being underlying the universe. The reality of that presence of the great peace and stillness of eternal being underlying existence in all its multiplicity, in all embracing, all permeating holiness. For holiness is a perception of the presence of eternal being within the temporal world. This breathing experience of the starry heaven at night is expressed perfectly in the acclamation, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Amen. So whatever schema we may know as the working of the cosmos, by virtue of the incarnation, it is forever imbued with the holy, deifying power of Christ. And as conscious humanity, our goal, so to speak, is to become conscious participants in this vivifying power. So we place ourselves under the canopy of the work. Just a few notes. A reminder that this Saturday there is another open forum if you wish to bring a question about any aspect of our journey together. It's Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Daylight Time, and there is a link in today's email. Tuesday's forum was lively and enriching, I can say. I hope for everyone, certainly it was for me. Another note is about a reminder about sharing. Sharing when we are together like this is a live work opportunity among work companions. And that is, it makes it a work opportunity in and of itself. In order to observe, non-identify, self-remember, externally considering others by keeping our sharings brief, succinct, and without story. This, of course, is an acquired art form, but a forgiving one. We're here, all of us are students, to learn from one another and to share with one another, even if what we have to say doesn't seem very important. It does matter to all of us. So now, preparing to receive all of the cosmic higher influences that are raining down on us as we're sitting here. They await our awareness and our reception. So we take a moment and breathe in deeply. Hold this precious gift of life, Christ's life evolving in me. And we breathe out this healing goodness into our world. We hand over the complexities of our day. We hand over our plans for tomorrow. We lay down our constructed lives in order to yield to the divine human life that is our destiny. We stand unencumbered before God and one another. So I will now share our Lectio Divina reading for today, which comes from today's message. From Revelation. I heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, "Don't. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brothers and sisters, the prophets, and of those who keep the message of this book. Worship God." We gaze directly from within time into eternity and see the flame of the universal sun, motionless upon roses of fire, fumes the living altar of universal creation. In its smoke, as in creative reveries, all power trembles. All eternity is concealed. And all that rushes over the chasms of ether, and every ray, corporeal or incorporeal, is only thy reflection, O Son of the World. I heard and saw these things, and when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, "Don't. I am a fellow servant of yours, and of your brothers and sisters, the prophets, and of those who keep the message of this book. Worship God." We gaze directly from within time into eternity and see the flame of the universal sun, motionless upon roses of fire, fumes the living altar of universal creation. In its smoke, as in creative reveries, all power trembles, all eternity is concealed. And all that rushes over the chasms of ether and every ray, corporeal or incorporeal, is only thy reflection, O Son of the World. I heard and saw these things, and when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, "Don't. I am a fellow servant of yours, and of your brothers and sisters, the prophets, and of those who keep the message of this book. Worship God." We gaze directly from within time into eternity and see the flame of the universal sun, motionless upon roses of fire, fumes the living altar of universal creation. In its smoke, as in creative reveries, all power trembles, all eternity is concealed. And all that rushes over the chasms of ether and every ray, corporeal or incorporeal, is only thy reflection, O Son of the World. And so it is. You are now invited, as you are moved to do so, to share what you received from this passage. Deborah Hale, please.
What I heard was living altar of universal creation. And that felt so powerful to me. And I initially thought, I am the altar of universal creation. And then my prayer became, what do I sacrifice upon this altar? And so I was thinking about my useless suffering, the fears and worries and judgments. So that is my prayer, is that I may sacrifice those on the altar of universal creation, and in order to bring forth something new.
Thank you, Deborah. May that be so. Martin Field, please.
So this is Tamara. What I heard was reflection, and it reminded me of the work principle of when you see something in somebody else and you are judging them on that, it's really a reflection of you and your negative thoughts. And so it helps remind me to not judge in that way, and to like see that in myself, and to observe and not identify and self-remember. So I just pray that I continue to do that as for the work.
Thank you, Tamara. Thank you. Karen Betts, please.
What spoke to me was the image. And this may be more like homework than Lexia reading, but it really brought to mind the archangels that we are.
Yes.
And there they are holding up the living altar of the earth and all the creation therein. And so if I do my work and make my higher hydrogens so that I can indeed become useful food for the archangels because of their power and position of dominance over the dominion over the nations, they could bring peace to the earth only if they're fed, and I must do my work to feed them so that indeed I can be a channel of the peace on earth.
Indeed. Thank you, Karen. Thank you. Frank Ivy, please.
I was struck by what the angel said. Don't. I'm a fellow servant of yours and of your brothers and sisters, the prophets. And took that as a warning. to understand that the leaders that I encounter on this journey are just fellow servants, and putting them on any kind of altar is false and wrong, and to be humble and appreciate their humility without deifying them.
Yes. Thank you, Frank. Kieran, please. Did we lose Kieran, Pamela?
Oh, she's there. Can you unmute Kieran?
Well, now we've switched to Leslie.
Okay, wait, Kieran?
Oh, there we go.
So sorry. For some reason, it wasn't working. I was reminded of scale and of every ray of light is a part of something bigger, material or immaterial, and that we're all part of something greater, and that the whole scale and keeping in mind the largeness was what came to me. Sorry it took me so long.
That's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And we'll close with Leslie.
The last two classes, I had to do family things, but I listened afterwards. And I think it was last week, the passage started with to give your body. And I remember not very long ago that I wanted to be a God's servant, but no way in hell would I give my body. It's like, And then through these teachings and them being anchored in the body, what I notice now is like, yes, please take this, use it all. And I'm so grateful because it's such a shift in consciousness.
Thank you, Leslie. That's a perfect way to end our Lexio sharing. So let us just take everything that we received from one another and what resides in our hearts as we move into the next section of our evening. And tonight we are concluding for now our study of cosmology through its orders and laws and its scale and its elegance and mystery. And we will share our experience on the principle of reciprocal maintenance and then move into a recap of cosmology. So I'm very pleased to once again introduce Beverly, who will take us on this journey of discovery. Beverly, please.
Thank you, Marianne. Good evening, everyone. So, yes, we worked with reciprocal maintenance, the economy of sacrifice. Sacrifice is not an idea we're hearing at all in the in life at this point. I'm not even sure I've heard it out there. For years. It's not something that belongs to life in a lot of ways. It can, but we don't see it much. So I'm really interested to hear your experience with this or any questions you might have from what we learned last week. I'm going to share my screen, the homework. Okay, so we were to read email, well, it was suggested that we read the email several times throughout the week with the disposition of receptivity and deep listening, allowing the impressions to flow in. And to explore the idea of sacrifice, of being a living transformer for the transubstantiation of energy in any or all of the ways listed in the email. And what emotions, thoughts, physical gestures, or facial expressions might be useful to sacrifice? Self-observe, non-identify, and self-remember. So just as a reminder, we want to keep our sharings brief. And yes, who would like to start us off? Lisa Morgan, please.
Yes, I've been working this week on working against the outward expression of negative emotions and choosing to bring in the welcoming prayer. And in making that aim, life has given me a lot of opportunity to work with that. And what I found is when I burn in it, that I don't go with the eyes that want to call up the girlfriend and say, can you believe so-and-so said this, or to sort of go down that rat hole of negativity. I have found that in burning in it, I leave a space of quietness that actually has led to compassion for me for people and things that I didn't think I could even get there with. So I was very grateful to be able to have that experience this week.
Thank you. Yeah. What a good aim for this week, for sure. Thank you very much. Thank you. Tamara, please.
So I read over the email a few times, and one day this week, I was going through a time of just huge amounts of negative thinking come in about a certain event and about certain people. And it was overwhelming. It's like I couldn't get away from it. It's like I kept being feeded by it and feeding by it. But and so as I'm sitting there, I thought to myself, you know what, this is a great opportunity to use, it just came to me, to use the forgiveness prayer. And so I did. And in doing that, I went through the whole process of, you know, going through of saying what I felt to these people and then having them saying what they feel about me and then saying, I forgive you, I forgive you. And then bringing in a loving and supportive person in my life that's deceased. And it was beautiful because I knew that I was transforming those energies into finer energies, going from those dense energies that I started out with and transforming them to finer energies and giving those to the archangels. And so it was really beautiful. And I was just really appreciative and I felt like it was grace who came in, grace that came in and told me, you know, use your forgiveness prayer. So it was a great experience. So yeah.
Yes. And I would assume that your body felt differently the two ways when you were feeding, we could say, lower energies in the beginning. And then did you feel more relaxation and able to breathe and all of that? What was it like for your body?
Did you notice? Well, thank you. Yes. So, you know, immediately I felt a little bit better, but I have to say over the next two or three days, this recurrence that's been going on for probably 2 years. I mean, it was just such a grace because I feel like there was something that came in and helped me with that. So that was, yeah.
Definitely grace. Thank you. Thank you. Lee or Jackie?
Jackie.
Hey, Jackie.
Hi. I had several occasions where negative emotions would come up in the form of thoughts. And what I leaned on was the welcoming prayer. I welcome all thoughts, feelings, emotions, persons, situations, and conditions. And then the other one that served me in the welcoming prayer is, I let go of the desire to change any situation, condition, person, or myself. And by the time I got through with that, and sometimes not all the way, I was in a much higher place. And so I was really grateful to be able to self-remember in that way.
Yes. Yes. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you for your work. Christine, please.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm nervous now. I forgot what I was going to say. I guess probably the last week, I have been working with some recurrence and health issues that I've lived with for a long time, but they've flared up this week. And I really didn't realize at the beginning that really what it was. I thought there was some other cause of what I was experiencing. But one thing that I noticed that was really interesting was that I had all the same physical symptoms, but I wasn't experiencing the degree of fear that around it that I'd had in the past. And I think that's what sort of confused me, was like, no, this isn't the same thing. This is something else. But I realized today that it is the same thing. And also I realized today that I had the power to sort of unbind these symptoms with the past. I realized that the symptoms had also become bound to certain circumstances that I'd lived through in the past, and that was actually making the physical symptoms worse. And so I really just sat down with that and kind of just talked to my body and said, okay, we're in a totally different situation now, and it's safe, and you don't need to be afraid, and you don't need to be overreacting like this. It was really my body was overreacting. It was no longer really my emotions, but my body. And I could find this compassion in there. And I also practiced like going through my day, like when I felt my face kind of frowning, you know, working so hard. And I was just like, wait, like, can you just lift your face, lift your countenance, you know, and just by moving my mouth into a smile, it would connect with pleasant in my body, and then the smile would really be real. So even in the midst of all this pain and confusion and what do I need to do next to take care of myself and all of this stuff, there was also beauty and discovery and wonder. And then like later in the day, I was getting, you know, tired. This was a lot of work still, even though there was beauty and everything, there was still work in it. And there was this moment of grace too, where I was like, bling, understood, like, oh, this isn't me working. This isn't me smiling. This isn't me being joyful. Like, this is just joy and love that naturally wants to emanate out of me. And I'm just allowing, you know, and I could sense that. And then I thought about, you know, the mitochondria and the cells and the blood and the water and the space and all the flesh and everything of this body. And I thought, oh my gosh, that love is just emanating through all of it. And really, like, it's not me. Like, I'm not making it happen. So it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so beautiful, Christine. Thank you. I mean, when you talked about, you know, having your face smile when you noticed you weren't, that's actually a work exercise, because Nicol talks about how, you know, our bodies reflect our inner state of identification, which is what you were talking about in the beginning. When we're identified with the pain and suffering we're, you know, experiencing, and, you know, our bodies do something like that. But if we change our posture, if we change our face, it can change our inner state. And that's exactly what you found. But I love that last realization that yeah, you're not doing it. You're not. It's when you do your work like that and you have that realization, then we're emptied so that it can come through us. Just what you were saying, that what we really are and what's really there. So yes, that's beautiful. May it continue. Thank you so much. Martin, please.
Hi, everybody. I was working this week with reciprocal maintenance. I really had only understood that from a tithing standpoint, mm-hmm. Which makes a lot of sense as far as participating in that flow. But what sort of came to me this week was that the reciprocal maintenance could really be thought of as an act of gratitude for C influences. And in that sense, it becomes kind of a relationship. And it's a really nice relationship. But even beyond that, I was reading something from Keating this week, actually came out from the Contemplative Outreach, one of their emails, talking about how he talks about ordinary life, and that it's really not a matter of being extraordinary in your spiritual pursuits. It's just a matter of ordinary daily practice. And I kind of took that to feel that what if reciprocal maintenance really was just as simple as daily practice, or just ordinary, as opposed to how I might have thought it as extraordinary. Just as simple, you know, as far as our daily routines of doing centering prayer, just going through life with reciprocal maintenance, just kind of maintaining that relationship with the higher influences.
Yes.
So that's, appreciate that homework assignment. Thank you.
Yes, I like that. It does become that when we're aware of it. Like you said, if we just go through ordinary life, then we are connected vertically and we're feeding something higher. So yeah, I think you're onto something there. It doesn't have to be extraordinary. What'd he say? Ordinary life with extraordinary love, or something like that. Gratitude, that's what I see gratitude as. I like that idea of gratitude as reciprocal maintenance. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Lauren, please.
I had a relapse and listened to some timely news. And I had prayed, tried to, for the greater good and for everybody to be seen exactly the way they are. And whether that was ever anywhere near my prayer was ever answered, I felt so overwhelmed, and it was beyond negativity. It was sort of a blend of despair and negativity. And so after the event, I went in and had a third sit. And I'm thinking that Martin was just saying that the routine, there's an angel in the silence, it felt like. And although I must say, I had submitted myself to, I was riddled by machine gun fire of some sort or other. And so I don't think all my wounds were healed, but I ended up, as you just noted, Bev, with a deep sense of gratitude, and was so much more peaceful. And I am really trying to avoid falling into that pit again.
Thank you. Yeah. When there's something that's that strong that we get identified with, I mean, it's good to see. You know, it's just good to see. And what a wonderful movement for you to go to the mat, you know, and do another sit. I mean, to me, that was like a prayer for mercy. You know, you knew where to go. Did you go to the refrigerator? No. Did you turn on a show? No. You went to God, you know, and that's beautiful. And, you know, it's just, okay, I got identified again. Isn't that interesting? You know, and it's okay. There was nothing lost in that at all. At all. So bravo, brother. Thank you. Joe, please.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
I was doing this assignment the way Father Keating kind of taught me how to approach my anxiety with delight. And I was calculating second force like a baby lion. I knew it was going to come, but I was having fun with it. And I was doing a sit, and I went into the inner room, and then I came out and I went in. I just kept going in and out. But when I finally got to the inner room, there was no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. It was just what it was. And life could be so much fun. That's what I've learned through this assignment.
Yes. Good. Delight. That's what the work is all about. Where the earth is a playground. So I like the way you frame it as being fun, because it can be. When we're light in spirit about it, whatever arises is just arising. There's nothing wrong with it. It's energies, right? It's when it gets stuck in the head that it becomes suffering and pain and fear and all of those things. But when we're in that place, which is a higher place, and when we're feeding those higher influences, yeah, it becomes fun. Thank you for your work. Thank you. Who else would like to share? We have time for more. Cynthia, please. I think you're unmuted.
So I was looking at exploring sacrifice. And this weekend, I knew I was going to be in a mode to sacrifice, because I had one of my sons coming in from out of town and his fiance, the rest of the family here. So I had a couple days of cooking and preparing, and I was prepared to babysit for my 18-month-old grandson and for two nights. And so all that I was anticipating and preparing myself for, and I was good with that. But when it was all said and done, I guess that was Monday night, I said, I'm going to have an early dinner. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to sit and rest. And as soon as I did, I sat down to eat my dinner. My brother called, and he'd been having some dizziness. And I had told him to call the doctor to make an appointment for Monday, but he didn't. Well, he made one, but it wasn't till Wednesday. And so right then when I wanted to rest, he calls and wants me to take him to the emergency room. And I could just feel how I did not want to sacrifice that. I could feel inside blaming him for not making an appointment and sure enough having to go at the last minute to the emergency room. And I just felt at the edge of my being to give anymore. I was really exhausted in my body. And all of a sudden, you know, I was thinking of this. I was thinking of reciprocal maintenance, and I kind of laughed. And I said, of course I have. Now I am at the edge of my being, and this is really sacrifice, not preparing to do what I called sacrifice, but when it's unexpected. And mm-hmm. So I don't like to go to emergency rooms because you have to wait a long time and they're cold and the light. So, you know, I laughed and I saw it and I was self-observing. We got to the emergency room and I was sitting there. I started self-observing and I thought, this is not bad. I'm not tired. For some reason, I'm not tired at all right now. I have plenty of energy. I thought, are the lights bother me? No. Is it cold? No. I was having a good time just talking to my brother. We were kind of reminiscing, waiting, and it was all perfectly okay. And I began to feel that energy. I began to feel when I sacrificed my being and my energy that it did feed. It fed something else. To me, reciprocal maintenance is, I don't know if I'm feeding the archangels, but I know that I'm feeding life. I know I was feeding my brother. I know that by having a loving attitude, I was feeding the doctor or the people that were serving us. And I love the concept that it creates a unity, whether it's with, you know, the plant life or with the people you're living with or the cosmos. This whole lesson to me felt like it was such unity and such give and take and how we are responsible for each other. So it's a beautiful lesson.
Oh, thank you so much. And what struck me too, as you're saying that the suffering came in when you had all these images of, well, there was an expectation of what you were going to do. You know, so it all was imagination, you know, except for what you were thinking and believing in that moment, you were fine. And then you discovered that you were fine when you got to the emergency room. And it wasn't like what the mind was telling you, right? And so that's so beautiful that that you were open enough that you could experience that. You were working in that moment. So then grace could come in, it seems like, and you got to see the reality of the situation. And my guess is that you were a blessing to everyone in that room. So thank you for your work. Yeah. Thank you. Bonnie, please. You're on mute. Hi.
I have a lot of tasks that I'm working on right now. I'm retired, but very much not retired. I got to a point where I was so thinking of all the tasks and that I was thinking of to-do lists and things and going to the point where other people are in my mind, other people are causing me to do this. And then I remembered, and I did some work. I did the welcoming prayer and remembered what was inside and that it wasn't them at all. And then I used another tool. I used, this was a tough week. I used the forgiveness prayer as well. And sometimes late at night is when things will hit me and I'll unlax a little bit and then I'll get keyed up again. So I had to work more. And I used just a little bit of going outside and under the stars and taking a little walk and just spending some time connecting. And I remembered through seeing the stars and myself and connected to everything, that the to-do list and everything wasn't quite as important. And I felt a part of everything, and it felt good. And my aim is to continue to work on that, to work on becoming love more.
Yes, which you are. I mean, we are that. And I just, you do exactly what the work says. Nickel talks about using different work ideas or different tools for different situations. You didn't try to use the same thing each time. And that's flexibility. That's what we'd call sly man in the work, sly woman. And you're finding ways to, and I heard in your saying and everybody else, sacrifice your suffering, right? By self-remembering through self-remembering. You saw scale when you went outside. You know, you remembered your place and remembered God through that. And that's just beautiful work. Thank you so much, Bonnie. Kathy, please.
Hello.
Hi.
I found myself this week being really afraid to let go of my negativity in a way of not wanting to covet it, but just a genuine fear of the release. And then throughout the week, I found that I had opportunity after opportunity to give away that which I needed. And it wasn't like I made a plan to do this. It just unfolded. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was reciprocity of energy. Energy that, as I gave it, filled me,
yes,
in some way, in all the right places and in all the right ways. And it was truly healing and transformational. So,
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, sacrifice again. It serves us. Isn't that funny? You know, that you think sacrifice, I don't know, I guess my association with it in the past has been this difficult thing. But no, when you see it, it is truly making sacred something. And then it feeds us as well. So it is reciprocal maintenance, just like you said. Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone that shared. I was very impressed. Everyone really was very concise in their sharing. I hope everybody noticed that. It was just really, really good. And you really get the feeling of it. Do you understand? You know, you really feel the truth of what's being said and the core of it when we share in that way. without all the details. You know, there's something in us that definitely wants to hear details. You know, I know that I do often. But the feeling, for me anyway, right now in my body, it's just totally different when we share in that way. So I think I can take it in more deeply. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Well, we will now move on to this evening. So we're at a place of pause and review. And I kind of had a hard time of figuring out quite how to do this. And I'm not sure what's going to end up. We'll see. But what I thought I would do is to share each of the images from each of the 8 emails. If you can believe it, it's been 8 weeks. We've spent 8 weeks on the cosmology. It's been quite a journey. I mean, which is really nothing considering the topic. But anyway, I will share the images and the any diagrams that were in the emails and kind of titles that were in there, things we covered. And I'm going to say very few words because I really want to leave time for you all. So we'll see. We'll see how much time that takes. Hopefully not too much for me. So all right. So we started out with this beautiful image of the ray of creation, or an image from that, from what we see now in the cosmos. And this quote from the email, creation is evolution and evolution is creation. And the ray of creation describes both. It describes great interconnected spectrums of unmanifest and manifest energy and matter, the macrocosm and the microcosm, with the relative density of laws affecting every particle and form and level of being. And we were given this diagram to show the work idea of the ray of creation, where we go from the absolute, which also describes the laws that each level is under, from the absolute at 1 to the moon at 96, the great ray, our great ray. The work says that there are an infinite number. This is our particular great ray, which is mind-blowing when we think about that. And then an updated version, or we could consider an image of the ray of creation, which is beautiful in and of itself. And then this other diagram of looking at the laws that the different levels are under. So as you move further from the absolute, if we call this the absolute up here, so we move further, becomes more dense, the energies become more dense as you move further from the absolute and come under more laws the further away we are at different levels. So again, down here at the level of Earth, we're under 48 orders of laws, and the moon is under 96. Which we can feel where we go sometimes when we're in negativity. So just this big macrocosmic view of the ray of creation. And then the next week we move to the law of three. The law of three is the law of the three forces of creation. Every manifestation in the universe is a result of the combination of three forces. So we have active force, which is also called first force, which is really what the term we use most often, or holy affirming. There's passive force, or second force, or holy denying. and neutralizing force or third force or holy reconciling. This is really the Trinity at work in our world, in our lives. It's at work on every level of creation, really. And so we looked at also how we can apply these principles of the law of three to our own work. So we can realize that second force is necessary. It's to be expected. In fact, dare I say, we need it and we should want it because that's how we grow, right? It's the force of resistance. It's just like a muscle, a physical muscle. We need that resistance for a muscle to get stronger. When we have second force in our lives, it's just an opportunity for us to grow stronger internally in our own work. We can know what our first force is. What do I want? And then we can calculate the second force that might arise. Not that we can know exactly how it will show up, but just to know that it will in some form or another, and to be prepared in whatever way we can by asking when things arise, when events happen, what is my first, third force in this moment? We see very clearly now how life is third force in most of the world, but we can choose something different. We can choose the work. We can choose these beautiful ideas as our third force when second force occurs in our lives. And then we moved on to the law of seven, which is also known as the law of manifestation or the law of octaves. And this interesting image to ponder. And we were first introduced to this idea of octaves through a musical representation. That's what the termination, the terminology that the work uses, using this what's called solfeggio in vocal music, of do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si, do. And it's based on the musical major scale, and to see also that at the point of between mi and fa and si and do, there are half steps. It's a smaller musical interval. And so then when we move to the diagram of the ray of creation, which is a descending octave, moves from that level of the absolute down to the level of the moon, we can see these in music, which would be half steps, or we call them skinny spots. I don't think that's really a technical work term at all, but we call it that. These are places, it's literally in the work called the place of shock, where shocks are necessary. There's additional energy needed for the energy to pass through. And this first place of shock is the will of God. It's called the will of God. This mi-fa interval we hear about in the next email through the side octave. Just know, you know, this diagram shows this descending octave of the ray of creation. And then we also had the work octave, which is an ascending octave. We start here at do, where we hear the work, we value it, we begin to value it emotionally, and then we move to re, where having learned some, where we know it to an extent, and we apply it to ourselves, we apply the work ideas to our beings. So do is work on the level of knowledge, and then re is work on level of being. And when we move to me, we recognize the difficulty in doing this work, that it's difficult to keep aims and to keep going. And then we need the shock here at the mi-fa interval to get to understanding the shock of the first conscious shock of bringing the work ideas up to incoming impressions so that we can move to understanding, aim, willing, doing, and then moving to the second conscious shock and to do. So descending and ascending octaves, manifestation. And then we move to our possibility, Christification, or the side octave. And this is where our possibility lies, where we know that we can, as self-developing organisms, move, ascend the side octave. And we had this diagram of the side octave, which shows the great ray here, the descending octave. And then at the side octave here is created by the sun at the level of soul, which is the level of all suns. Our sun created this lateral octave to serve the descending ray, to allow the energies to come down to the earth and the moon more easily. And remembering here that at this level of La Sol Fa that creates this cross, that this is organic life, the film that transmits the energies down to the earth and moon through suffering, that, and we are a part of organic life. Yet we are created, like I said, as self-developing organisms, and we have the potential through our work to ascend the side octave to a higher level of being, to the level of being of the sun, which is what it wants of us. That's something that it wants. We can serve something higher. And so how can we apply this knowledge to ourselves? We can ask, what message does the side octave have for us as a means of self-remembering, to sit in a receptive place to receive that, to receive inspiration about it from higher centers, so that those energies can come down from the ray, from a higher place, to feed us, and so that we can feed. And then we can observe what level of the food of impressions we are exposed to and consuming, and make more conscious choices. And we can participate in all three lines of work and all five obligolni and strivings. We then moved on to time and eternity, and this idea that time is breath, which is a very interesting idea. Time and eternity. And we saw this table that I believe Ouspensky created to show that at different levels of consciousness, time is experienced differently. And time and eternity in diagrams that showed that our bodies experience outer time, but our other centers, our intellectual and emotional centers, can actually experience different rates of time depending on our state. And these diagrams show that time is in the horizontal. It's not vertical, it's horizontal. It moves from here to there. But eternity pierces it. Actually, at every moment, if we're aware of it, it is here in the present moment, the verticality. And here it shows the cross. This is us. You know, we are in the world, but we are vertical. I mean, look at, we stand up, upright, vertical in the world, the horizontal world. We create the cross. We are that intersection of the vertical and the horizontal when we're aware of it. And in that, in the present moment, being in the present moment, we are in eternity and totally connected with spirit and God. And knowing that when we're in eternity, that doesn't mean time exists in a way. So you can see how then this idea of the time body, that time is living, and that because when we're in that place of the present moment, we can actually change the past and the future, because in a way they don't really exist, but we can go back in our time body we can bring our current consciousness to moments that perhaps were traumatic for us or difficult, and change, see it differently, really, change it, really. And then we can also influence our future by sending messages forward, by creating future memories of how we want to feel when recurrence happens, comes around again. This idea of time and eternity. And then we move to scale and the work idea that things are on different scales. And what Bonnie was talking about, she saw scale, and so many of us use that, see that when we go outside to look at the stars. Wow, you know, the scale of the universe, galaxies upon galaxies in this ray, and here we are where we are, and there are supernovas happening and stars exploding and black holes swallowing whole galaxies up. And I'm worried about how my husband is cooking in the wrong, you know, I'm judging him about how he's cooking the wrong way or something. I mean, hello. It gives us perspective. It lifts us, like we've all said, to a whole different level, a whole different level. So we know, we see through scale that energies are finer and denser in the vertical, just like we were saying, in the ray of creation, the further away we get from the absolute, although that energy is still there, there's more surrounding it, and the denser needs to be under more laws. As using that, it's certainly knowing scale is a tool for self-remembering, as Bonnie was describing, and that knowing that we can rise from one level to another in vertical scale when we remember that. And really, when you think about it, when we think in terms of scale, we're thinking in a whole new way. If we're just thinking about the horizontal, if we're identified with our day-to-day stuff, you know, we're not thinking in a new way, but you add the vertical, it's totally different. Changes things completely. Then we moved on to influences, impression, and impressions, the levels of influence, the A, B, and C influences, that impressions are exterior and interior, and that inner taste can help us to discern what levels of influences and impressions that are useful or not at any given time, that we wished for B and C influences, but that we can hold ourselves when we do engage in A influences, which we have to do from day to day. And then last week, reciprocal maintenance, the economy of sacrifice, which everyone who shared spoke so eloquently about. Had the no one talked about the side octave, step diagram, but we were given that the diagram of every living thing to show that we eat and we are eaten, that it's everything is used, this exchange of energy, there's no waste in the universe. And then we looked at our part in reciprocal maintenance, that we can participate in evolution as well as involution, or the descending ray where we feed the earth and the moon, but we also can serve evolution by doing our work, by creating moon in ourselves as a center of gravity to contain finer energies to allow for our transformation, but also to serve all of humanity by uplifting everyone, as Marianne said last week. And in that way, we serve as these living transformers for the transubstantiation of energy. And we can do that through many other ways as well. Martin mentioned tithing, that was mentioned, and he suggested gratitude, just doing our work, sacrificing our suffering. So it was a beautiful, beautiful journey through that. And we have about, well, a while. For anyone, any impressions that you have right now, we're going to be working with this for the homework for this week, to review it ourselves, to be with it. And, but, you know, what now at this moment, it deserves 2 weeks at least to look at, but what would you like to share that you received from this journey through the cosmology? Salam, please.
Hello?
I can hear you. Just can't
okay.
see you.
Sorry, let me do start the video. Sorry. It's Sue, actually. Salam is an alternate identity. It's a long story. Okay. So I want to say that PDF was so incredibly helpful that you prepared for tonight. And I would love it if I could get a copy of it, because I feel like I would like to go back over. I feel like there were a couple things that I started to understand better as a result of going through with that PDF. And I'd like the chance to go through it with more time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. One of the suggestions for next week too is just to gaze on the images too. They're all so beautiful. Oh my gosh. They're all so beautiful. But yes, we can post that with the class as class
content. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Martin, please.
Abev, you had mentioned last week, so occasionally you mentioned that you said things like, it is lawful. And maybe we were talking about negative emotion and giving it to the moon. What was occurring to me this week is the importance of the moon in completing that octave. And if you could imagine a psychology level at the moon level with all the laws, perhaps that's the only food that really interests you, is negative emotion. And I think at every level you have the possibility of development. But as we can see the moon and understand the moon in our awareness, or that level of consciousness, it helps me to understand what looking down the ray is, and then also what looking up the ray is. It's almost as if the moon wasn't there, or that level of consciousness, I would not know how to look up the ray as the other way. So that's what I've been getting out of this week, or this term.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. If the moon wasn't there, we'd be at the bottom. Maybe we'd be the moon. that's very interesting. Yes. And again, I got the feeling that it's all merciful and lawful, and that's how we are actually feeding the evolution of the moon, even if it's negativity. That's the food for it at this point. Who knows in the future? Yeah. Thank you. Who else? Any questions, comments? Thank you, Michael.
Hi.
Hi.
As you were starting the review tonight, one of the things that you underscored was something that I noticed in the email today, and it reminded me of something. And when you said the work doesn't say the ray, it says our ray, our great ray of creation. And I have thought about that in the past, thinking about the, you know, all of the planetary systems, and that there is a ray that is, a great ray that is going through the cosmos to that planet and to its moon. And out of curiosity today, I looked up how many planets science currently thinks that there are. Rocky planets like ours around a G-type star. And it is a strikingly big number. It is 19 billion trillion. So it's like 19 with 21 zeros after it. That's the number of planets that they think that are rocky planets around stars like ours now. So you think about that. The rays, 19 billion trillion rays going out. And then I take this notion of the side octave, right? So every one of those, and if we just take these ideas and start playing it out on a universal scale, it's like, oh, every one of these rays has its own skinny spots, if you will. So there's a side octave that's required. So there is Christ at work at this cosmic level that we can now quantify. And I know that the whatever we can count now will be low.
Right.
But it's today's understanding. Mm-hmm. And just the operation, the scope of the operation of God and Christ and the cosmos is staggering. It's just staggering. And that reminded me of one last thing. Mm-hmm. And that's when a group of us went to India. We got to spend some time at a Sikh ashram with a holy man. And there was a time when God appeared in the form of Jesus to this holy man, and they had a long conversation. And part of this vision or conversation that he had was, he said Jesus, but it was a cosmic figure, because he kept saying, bless, bless, bless. And he said, and the entire universe vibrated when he said that. Bless, and the universe vibrated. Bless, and the cosmos vibrated with that blessing. So, there. I don't know what else to say.
Beautiful. Yeah, it is mind-blowing. Yeah, which is good. That's a good thing. Thank you, Michael. Gay, please. You're good. You're unmuted.
Good now?
Yep. Right?
Okay. I attended the forum on Tuesday, and I got so much out of that because I'm beginning to realize that there are so many different ways for me to approach these magnificent ideas, these incredibly huge ideas. So here we've got, you know, we've gone through, what is it, seven weeks, and each week is another idea that is so much bigger than my understanding at the present moment. So where do I start? We talked a little bit in that forum about that, and there was the idea of approaching it as one big thing. And my idea up to that point was, that's not possible for me. I have to look at one small piece of this. And so now I'm seeing for myself that both those ways are totally valid. And if I can just allow myself in the quiet when I'm reading this material or reading other things that relate to this material, that there may be moments where my being can expand to the point of actually feeling into this. So that's something that I've gotten just the last few days. Mm-hmm. I've been reading Nichols' book called Living Time.
Yes.
And this would be approaching, for me, this would be approaching like one of these ideas from the smallest aspect of it, the idea of the fact that I and all of us are born into a world of horizontal time, of calendars and schedules and clocks and yesterday and tomorrow. And it is such an atmosphere to be born into that to try to expand that to another dimension is certainly an act of self-remembering for me. Yes. And that's what has happened in reading this book and then putting on some of these ideas is taking one idea, the idea that maybe time is not at all what I thought it was, or maybe it is what I thought it was and much more. Mm. And what has happened is that I see that all of these vast ideas fit together in the most beautiful way. This one fits into another one, and this one here fits into another one. And suddenly I'm just completely astounded. And of course it doesn't last. But I have been there now. I've experienced these moments of these ideas actually expanding my being.
Yes.
And I do not have to understand all the minutiae. For example, the step diagram. I can look at that diagram now and not worry about all the little numbers and squares. I look at it as a flow of energy from the bottom to the top to the bottom. And to me, what it says is it's all connected. Everything is connected. I think I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thank you. That just points to allowing these ideas in without the mind saying, I've got to figure it out, because you got understanding. I think before you were trying to grasp the ideas, you know, figure it out in your mind to get it, you know, that thing that we do. And when you kind of let that go and let it just come in, do your work, but more with a curiosity, like you were doing, you were just allowing that to come in, then I think we gain understanding and those insights then can come. Thank you very much for that. And I'm afraid we're going to have to stop there. Thank you all for sharing. That was really good. And I'm looking forward to hearing more. We'll have next week as well. And I'm just going to really quickly share the homework for next week. For this week, pardon me. So reflect and listen for any idea that comes to meet you, perhaps returning to the in-depth exploration of the original email of any idea that comes. Study the diagrams. Gaze upon the images, taking in their impressions, allowing them to enliven your emotional center. Rest. Give gratitude for this precious life in all its wondrous, evolving, infinitely great, and infinitely small expressions. Blessings on your work this week, my friends. Thank you. Back to you, Marianne.
Thank you so much, Beverly, and everyone. That was wonderful. A closing word from Rodney Collin. Christ is so great, so high. Sometimes we wonder how our prayers can reach him. When anyone says the Lord's Prayer, even the archangels withdraw so that the Son may speak directly with the Father without anyone else overhearing. Sometimes when we pray, we feel something. And then the next day, by imagination, we want to feel the same thing, and so stop the new thing that we could feel. Praying is directing the heart to God. When we really pray, we do not go into words. We go into God. We pray when we do not think of ourselves, but instead give ourselves wholly into the hands of God. The path to God has always been open since the beginning of the world. And so it is. So it is. So, my friends, let us close our blessed evening by praying the prayer of God's love. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed I am to simply remember God. Protect us, Lord, while we are awake. Watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and to sleep, rest in Christ's peace. Amen.